the Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jonah didn't tell anybody, but God gives him specific instruction to go to Nineveh, which means he's close, but he wants to go a long way away. And he stops off at Joppa. And God let that man run down to Joppa. And when he got to Joppa, if you notice one thing here, the text says that when he got to Joppa, he found the ship. You're always going to find somebody to help you disobey. See, there's some people in your life that's the ship to your disobedience. They're telling you all the stuff you need to hear to walk out on your commission and your call. They're hurting you so much that you're pulling away from God. You see, when people hurt me, when things hurt me, I go right to the Word of God and I throw myself into the presence of God. I don't pull away from God, because when people hurt you, all you have left is God. So I'm not standing before you saying I don't get hurt. I'm telling you I don't go back to the people who hurt me. I go to the God who can sustain me. Woo! I don't know what's in Nineveh. I don't know. I searched and studied and searched and studied, and I couldn't find, not even in the Midrash. I couldn't find it in Josephus, and I couldn't find it in Erasmus, and in the Midrash. The Midrash is a Hebrew writing that speaks very distinctively about the history, and there is absolutely no reason for this man to say, I'm going to Tarshish, other than the distance. Because like so many of us, we think the further we go, God won't be there. You think that because you stay home on Sunday, you think that the Holy Spirit isn't in your bedroom. All right, you partied last night and your eyes are red, and you say, well, I better not go to church. I'm feeling kind of bad that I did this. And you think that God isn't there with you while you recover from the hangover. But he's right there. You say, oh, I don't want to be around all the noise because I have a headache. But the Holy Spirit says that one sin doesn't remove me. So I'm going to have noise inside of you. So instead of praising God with us, you're at home crying and snotting, because God is saying, though you're on a ship to go to Joppa, I'm with you as well. The only difference is when you get to Joppa, that's where I'm going to deal with you. I'm not going to let you get to Tarshish. Because I called you. I didn't call you based on whether or not you want to go. Brothers and sisters, the plan for your life is not predicated on you. You can prolong it, but it's coming to pass. I'm telling you right now, if God has spoken a blessing over you, no matter what devil has been dispatched to cause you to lose sight of it, it's coming to pass, because God cannot lie. You might lose your faith in it for a moment, but you rest in the fact that I got a word. You don't need a touch. You need a word. Do you understand that most of Jesus's healing were the result of a word, not a touch? The kingdom is not activated by a touch. The kingdom is activated by a word. It took an unregenerate Roman centurion to focus on that fact. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, you don't need to come. Speak a word. You see, oftentimes we read a book like Jonah and we see the situations unfolding there, and we draw the conclusion that the book of Jonah has to deal with disobedience and rebellion and judgment. Not primarily. Because the book starts with God giving a command, and it ends with God fulfilling his plan. Everything else in the middle is window dressing. What you learn from Jonah is that he that began a good work in you will not be thwarted by disobedience in your life. Your levels of disobedience will not stop the move of God that has already been spoken in your life. No matter what you do, that plan of God that has been put on your life when you were conceived, like Jeremiah, every one of us has a God directive that came on us when we were in our mama's womb. The devil tried to kill you. Some of you were birthed through a bad pregnancy. If you talk to your mama, she'll tell you you were breech. But you better listen. Just because you didn't come out head first, you came out feet first. There is a stigma attached to feet first. They call it breech. But feet first mean you just came out ready to run. And the Bible said run with the vision and make it clear. And you're sitting in here today, you're letting the devil strip you of the calling that God had for your life, of the position of blessing that you were called into. But you ought to be rejoicing in the sense that while things are bad and you may be in the well's belly and you may feel like you're dying, you still have a God directive. Jonah had money because he paid the fare when he went down to Joppa. He walked to Joppa just like I took a bus to 401 Broad Street. That's where we had to go to swear in. And I went in and stood before the NCOs, raised my hand and said, I, Rumpelstiltskin, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God, protect it from all enemies, foreign and or domestic. So help me God. The so help me God is really a plea. So help me God. Little did I know that that prayer would be needed when I got off that bus. See, the Marine Corps is slick. They're just like the people at Joppa. And there was a finely dressed master sergeant, a gunnery sergeant. My recruiter was a gunnery sergeant, and there was a finely dressed master sergeant. They got on dress blue trousers and the khaki shirt with all their ribbons. They look good. They got the Corps Fram shoes on that you can see into the future. They don't tell you that their shoes are purchased like that, and we had to go and learn how to shine ours that way. With a cotton ball and wax polish and water. They didn't tell you all that. And they're real slick. They put you in a van and take you down to the Philadelphia airport and put you on a plane. You're feeling pretty good with your little bag. And then you get off in Charleston. Charleston's a pretty city. It's full of old plantations, and it's a typical southern city. And it's late evening when you get there. And the military attaché meets you at the plane and says, welcome to Charleston, recruits. Welcome. Come on with us. We're going to take you to get something to eat. And you sit in the airport. He says, all right. It's about 10 o'clock. And you think they're going to take you to a hotel so you can get there in the morning like normal peoples. It's 10 o'clock. And they say, well, the bus is here now to take you to the island. So you get on the big Greyhound-type bus, comfortable seats. The driver is not military. He's normal. Takes you on the long drive. It's pitch black. You can't see anything. And you're African-American from Philadelphia, New York, and every place east of the Mississippi in Charleston at night. You're looking for these people with sacks over their head coming to the bus. And so you keep going in the bus south. You cross over a causeway. And after you come through Beaufort, it links the mainland with the island. And you can't see a thing. In fact, you're probably copping some Z's, wondering what gay adventures await us as we come to the military installation. You go through the checkpoint, and the guard waves the bus through. And you're Jonah. Thinking you got away. Isn't it great? I'm looking and I'm thinking how good I'll look in my dress blues. That's all I'm thinking about, how good I look. They're at home in my closet hanging right now as a reminder of Jonah. The bus pulls up in front of Joppa. I think the brakes are designed to squeal. The door opens and Satan gets on the bus. I will never forget the cheerful good morning at 1:30 in the morning. With a voice that I'd never heard in my life, he screams at the top of his lungs, You have just arrived at the United States Marine Corps Military Depot, Paris Island. When you left home, you were under your mother's care. You are now under mine. You will not scratch, blow your nose, move your finger, move your eyes. You will not move until I tell you so. In 3 seconds, you will grab all of the things that you own and run off this bus and put your feet on the yellow footprints outside where you will be greeted by another friendly drill instructor. Move! 90 of us move at the blur of a speed of light. I'm in Joppa. I'm Jonah. For the next 6 hours, I am persecuted. I am not allowed to sleep for 6 hours. I watch the sun come up, but there's no romantic woman on my arm. I'm in Joppa. You see, you go to Joppa, a place that brings you emotional unrest, a place that brings you physical pain and anxiety when you try to escape your destiny. You see, your destiny is not judgment. Your destiny is blessing. While the world may tell you that God has destined you to go through dysfunctional results because you had a dysfunctional family, you do not need to activate those genes by going to Joppa. Just because things went badly in your life, you don't run from the command of God, which is to bless you and give you hope. You see, Jonah's command had nothing to do with the people of Nineveh. It had everything to do with the mercy of God. God was not looking for an instrument of judgment. God was looking for an instrument of mercy. God did not call Jonah to judgment. He called him to go to the city and speak against the things that were done, not the people that did them. But what caused Jonah to avoid the calling? He refuses to go down, to speak to the Ninevites. What's keeping you from walking in your station of blessing? Why are you depressed? Why have you lost your joy? Do you blame it on the people around you because you are in Joppa? I will submit to you that my prayer life increased in the 11 weeks that I was on the island. My theology solidified in the 11 weeks I was on the island. I found out who God was when I was on that island. What the devil meant for evil, God got a yes out of me. The yes that I refused to give him in West Oak Lane became the yes of South Carolina. What will it take for God to extract the Jonah from you so that he can get the yes? Not the yes to ministry, not the yes to things, not the yes to doing stuff, but the yes to living in your position. God did not call you to suffer. He called you to reign. The suffering is just a temporary position.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.